CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com, Tuesday morning. It is the 28th of August. Lots of things going on in the news. What is it? What is it? What is it about Theresa May? It makes her one of the... I had to think really hard. Who is the Prime Minister of Great Britain? I remember David Cameron. And then I kind of stopped paying attention. Remember when they started the Brexit referendum? And Cameron said, I'm leaving. And he left poor old Theresa May with... You know, she was holding the baby.
Holding the baby? Is that a term?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh.
He left her holding the baby. He resigned and said, fine, I can't, if you fuckers want the Brexit, then I'm out of here. And he left it to her. Poor woman's been trying to sort this out for the last, what, 3 years?
Oh, jeez.
Feels like 3 years, might be two.
What's
anyway.
What's the official title?
She's Prime Minister.
Prime Minister
it's
of
it's
Great
not Prime Minister Rest or something.
No.
Prime Minister of Great Britain.
Well, she's not escaping Brexit talk because she's here for Brexit talk.
Oh, no. That poor woman. This is her whole thing. Her whole life is Brexit.
Her aim is to emphasize trading opportunities open to the UK post-Brexit.
All right.
I don't mean to sound like a socialist, but this bullshit...
Oh, you don't?
This bullshit of arriving in your own plane, getting into a car on the runway, screw that.
How's that BS?
British Airways, Virgin, they all offer flights down here.
Yeah, and tell me you first class.
And tell me your shit don't stink, Theresa May. And you go stand in that checkout afterwards. And you go wash your hands in that mist that Cape Town offers. And that hand sanitizer we all got to do. Coming here in your cloth-clad glory. You're not very good at most things, Theresa May, much like anyone else.
Listen.
I just you she's a delightful
Ben,
woman.
Why aren't you on the red carpet
yeah,
welcoming her?
Commentating. Ben should be standing there commentating live for television news.
You can go stand next to Farnie from Kempton Park. He's in Cape Town for business to sell his biltong for the day. He's just let out a sneaky fart while you try to pick up your bag from the travelator. Getting into a black murk.
I'd like to hear Ben's, like, commentary from the
it's bollocks. It's just glorified,
like, courtside commentary.
It's glorified blue light brigading. Come down in your own plane. Why are these people dancing outside now as well?
They aren't dancing.
They're
that's like they're marching.
They're doing things in unison. That's as good as having a dance. I mean, there's a red carpet. Come on,
having a dance.
Theresa May's carbon footprint. Go 100 meters down that runway. There'll be a plane that's come from where she comes from.
Do you know how grumpy you sound right now?
It's hilarious. See, these people
it's
are
only
not
gonna
important.
Get worse.
All right, these people
talk,
are not important.
Let's
at all.
Let's talk about some of the things in the news. I wanted to start with this. It's a serious thing, but I won't dwell on it too long. But you heard the Pope, right? He's decided he's very much opposed to child abuse, which isn't that nice?
Oh, that is so sweet of him.
Must have taken him a long time to decide that, but
shame.
He has declined to confirm, deny, or even comment on ex-ambassador's claim that he knew about the abuse of priests in 2013 and did nothing about it.
I call bullshit. Why else do you get into this whole thing to start with? You get in for the kids. It's like politicians going, oh, I had no idea this corruption. Bullshit. You got in for the easy money. Come now with your...
Name your favorite things. Number one, corruption.
Yeah,
two, okay, well, child abuse. What lovely things these people are busy with. No, I think you might have a point. It's probably something he knew about, but couldn't act against, because he's like, that's why people get into the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. All right, what's on your mind, Ass?
I'm fascinated by this 15-story underground doomsday shelter.
Where?
In Texas.
Yeah?
It has luxury homes, guns, and armored trucks. So this guy named Larry Hall purchased a retired missile silo for $300,000 or 4.2 million rand. He converted it into apartments for people who worry about Armageddon.
Jeez.
And have the cash to burn, obviously.
Sure.
They're fortified shelters, but now
how many people can it fit?
You probably think they're going to be bunk beds and
sure,
like a mess hall. And
none of that, huh?
It's called a survival condo project, and it's no ordinary condo project. This silo was built at the height of the Cold War, and he's now bought it. He's developed previous networks for government contractors, but since the attacks of September 11, he began this catastrophic planning. So he started building, The exact location is top secret.
Oh, so nobody even knows really where it is. Somewhere in Texas.
Yeah, well, it's sort of north of Wichita.
North of Wichita? Oh,
Wichita, Kansas.
There's nothing there.
Okay. Well, there's rolling hills and farmland, basically. Uh-huh. The construction costs were nearly $20 million. So it now has 15 floors divided into 12 single-family homes.
Wow.
As well as common areas and space for operations. It's actually quite beautiful. If you look at these apartment pictures, they look like something that you'd find in a normal home. It doesn't feel underground. It doesn't look underground. So the family dwellings fill a space that's a little bit more than a third of a basketball court. Each dwelling fits 6 to 10 people.
No.
3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, a kitchen, a dining room, and a great room. Tenants won't be roughing it. It's a great room. They each have a dishwasher, washer, dryer, LED screens, showing a live video of the prairie outside.
Oh, so you think you're outside?
Yes. But good luck getting in. The unit sold out before construction ended in 2012.
Wow. So there are some people who are into this whole doomsday thing.
Hey? They're all into it.
If you're a property developer and you're struggling to, just sell 2 bedrooms, something or others, you find this is a niche thing. This guy's making huge money with this.
Yeah, absolutely. 42 million rand worth of a full floor unit, $3 million.
So it's quite deep underground. It must be
15 floors, yeah.
It must be a very complicated process to dig down and build this.
Hugely. So it's more than a place to call home. Every purchase includes a mandatory survival training, a 5-year food supply per person, and internet access.
See, we could do that in Joburg very cheaply because we've got all those abandoned mines.
That's true, yes.
They say Johannesburg is like a honeycomb inside.
Yeah.
If you had to do a cross-section of Johannesburg, you'd see underground there are just huge cavernous open spaces where all the old mines used to be. So it's already been dug out. All we have to do is create the entrance and build the actual units.
Because that's the expensive part, is the digging, really.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so just a quick few
and
luxuries.
Internet access.
Oh, yes, of course. They've got fish tanks where they've been growing fish and vegetables under growing lamps. A grocery store, a swimming pool, a water slide, a gym. There's a little pet park for taking your dogs for a walk.
I was on the fence until you said water slide, I mean.
A rock climbing wall. Then there are places with lots of guns and ammo, and they can practice their skills at indoor shooting ranges.
Well, you know, if it's a zombie apocalypse, you'll need to, right?
And the major benefit is that if something happens, if an Armageddon, nuclear warfare, or a viral epidemic ever comes, a SWAT team-style truck picks up the homeowners within a 640K-odd radius of the bunker and takes them in.
Wow. You even get the transport to your bunker.
I'm quite intrigued, actually.
Would you like to?
Feeling of safety.
Would you like to try living there for a month?
I don't like the whole community thing, and I'm very
also hate that.
Personal. But you know, if the skies were blackened and
if there was nuclear fallout everywhere, you'd learn to live with
some people.
You're
breathing in ash, then
you'd find your neighbor attractive eventually.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'd rather be down here with them than out there in the nuclear holocaust.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've got to think about this stuff, right? If we listen to some of these doomsday prophets that say, oh, well, the world's going for a ball of shit and everything's getting terrible, you've got to have a plan.
Yeah, I mean, my immediate thought is, oh, these people believe in zombies. But in reality, it could be something completely real.
People once laughed at Noah and his ark.
Yes,
do you remember? They laughed. They went, ha, ha, Noah, you dumb asshole. You don't need an ark. It's not going to rain that much. And he said, I'm building my ark. And I said, ha, that stupid old fool Noah. Look at him up on that mountain with that stupid ark. Dumb Noah. And what happened? It started raining.
For 40 years.
And Noah was sitting on the front of that ark when all the rains had come down. And he watched all his friends drowning. And
he was having a shrimp braai.
He said, ha, look, he had an umbrella over the briar because otherwise it would have gone
out.
40 years of rain, are you kidding? You've got to build your Noah's Ark. Do you have provisions of anything? Do you ever keep provisions of...
The most I do is buy, 6 months' worth of deodorant.
Oh, really? That's quite a lot.
Just because... Just because I don't want to have to do it again.
You can buy a bulk pack from Macro?
I just stuff them in my trolley. I buy 30 cans of tuna a month for my cats.
Wow, that's good eating.
And when I get to the counter, the most annoying part is the guy puts them through individually. I'm like, guy, they're 30. I put them in piles of five. The labels are all facing you. No, one.
A count of each, yeah, in case they're slightly different.
And well, everyone's looking at me like I'm the mad cat lady, of course.
Well, of course, they think, geez, that, she's going to go and to compete in a bodybuilding contest. She's going to have a lot of tuna, eh?
Well, she's going to die of what poison's in there?
Mercury.
There
yeah.
we go.
That's pretty interesting. I like that, this idea of a 15-story underground bunker where you can live peacefully throughout the nuclear holocaust.
There's a great show on Netflix I spoke about a few weeks ago. They actually showcased one of these settlements where they're building these little bunkers. So what happened during the Cold War is that the military built these things, basically these shells.
Yeah.
And they can withstand all kinds of explosions, that kind of stuff. And obviously this guy knows an uncle who knows a friend who knows a cousin, and he's now got the contract to basically flip these fallout bunkers.
Huh.
And he 12 people can live in them. They've got this massive central reservoir that they all tap into.
Listen, we joke about it now, but it this is a major thing. Back in the 1950s, people were actually scared of nuclear war. Kids used to get training in schools in America. If the Russians attack, we're going to have this kind of alarm. And then they'd have a sort of boop, boop, boop. And then all the kids were taught you have to get under your desk and cover your eyes. And they used to hand out potassium iodide tablets to absorb some of the radiation so that you'd survive a little bit longer.
Jeez.
This is a real thing.
You know, it would be funny, though, is if there wasn't an apocalypse or a nuclear catastrophe and it was just Judgment Day. I mean,
how would,
if it really existed.
How would Jesus find you if you weren't?
He would find you.
No, he wouldn't. He doesn't know underground. Underground's where Satan rules. You can go and hide down there. Jesus won't find you. You can go and hide in your bunker.
Okay, that makes me feel more safe.
Leanne, it's Jesus. It's Judgment Day. I'm here to fetch you. You've been an evil bitch.
I'd be like Cheech and Chong and go, you keep on knocking, but you can come in.
Where are you, Leanne?
I'm on my bunker. Just reading my Bible. Back in a minute.
Leanne.
Okay, Jesus, leave me alone.
Jesus.
I'm on the loo.
Oh, gosh.
All right, well, a couple of messages that have come through. Ben is making my day, says Jennifer. Loves the cynicism.
Grumpy Ben.
Grumpy Ben this morning. But
you know what? Don't discredit by calling me cynical or grumpy.
This is
bullshit.
This is what Jennifer says.
I like Jennifer.
She's on your side. You're so defensive. Venetia says, what about the Cookie Monster?
We mentioned him in passing, but yes, perhaps we should have given him more attention.
Hang on a second. That was the lesbian one, right?
Yes, Ben.
We were talking about the Sesame Street. There's a new movie out called The Happy Time Murders, which starts this week. You've got to go and see it. Tabo says, Ben, how shit is United? Seriously.
Yeah. Well, the cracks are... They're a bit like the Springboks, actually. You think about it. Everyone thinks that they can solve a couple of problems here with a band-aid here and there, but they're actually very much like the Springboks.
And while people are talking about rugby, Duncan wants to know, I missed the show yesterday, I have not had time to listen to the podcast, what did Ben say about the box? Please ask him what the hell is wrong with Malcolm Marks. Is he battling with stage fright?
Yeah. I think weight of expectation is going to bog him down a bit. But you can't miss lineouts, sir. Simple as that. Duncan, I'll put a full podcast together for you.
There is lots of commentary about Athol Trollope in PE. I don't know if we need to get into that, though. You'll find other people who will comment on it ad infinitum today. In fact, you'll find a whole lot of noise.
Well, it's politics, Gareth, so just think of the biggest dickbag in the Eastern Cape, and that's now the person who runs it.
Right.
Because
the Port Elizabeth mayor is some guy we've never heard of before who comes from a party that has 2% of the vote. How's that going to work? I thought we believed in democracy.
Yeah,
I mean, isn't democracy where the party with the most votes gets to run things? Or am I missing something? It's all very complicated. So there's some new dude there. That's all I have to say about it. I don't really have a point of view on this whole thing. Ben, what's on your mind?
Gareth, there's a very interesting dating app. It's called Toffee. Just guess what it's about.
Let's just look at it. We've got Tinder, right?
Yes, which is Tinder's your general swipe left, swipe right. Everyone's involved. Right.
It's a hookup. You got the other social media.
It's Bumblebee. Bumble, something?
What's Bumble? Bumble's when the girl's going to make the first move.
Oh, okay.
So it's about chivalry, sort of, but it's like being above board and less skanky.
But it's Bumble, so it's a bumbling, like,
it's a
app.
Beehive app.
And then hello.
It's more like a Hugh Grant sort of dating app. So, hello, would you like to go out? Is there something you'd like to do? Hi, sorry to bug you. I didn't mean to slide in your DMs, but if you're so busy, let's maybe go for a coffee.
And then there's Grindr.
Grindr is Grindr. The gay one. Hmm? Grindr is for the gays. What is there a lesbian one? It's called Scissor, isn't it?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, the whole thing is, Gareth,
what's this one?
There's one for everyone. Now, this one is just for kids who went to private schools.
Oh, like Toffee Noses.
Oh, hello. Yeah. How do you do?
Now, we started
marvelous.
We started the show today by telling you how expensive it is to bring up a child. So why would you ever run the risk? You put such an investment into your child.
Yes, why would you let them marry a peasant?
Why run the risk of them having someone from the wrong side of the tracks? What? So Toffee basically rigorously grills you about the school you went to. So then when you go on this thing, you know that someone from a good education will be on there. No questions asked. The right sort will be on your screen.
You won't have to deal with any of the poor.
No, all these gold diggers, these other people who just want your stuff, these will come from note as well. But obviously the app has been slammed as being snobby. Bloody right.
Okay, so who of us went to government schools?
Me.
All of us. Did you also go, Robin? Did you also go to government school?
No, I actually went to a private school.
Robin's on Toffee. Are you on Toffee? Is that how you found your love of your life?
Because of Toffee, Robin will have to mix with us. Her life will be simpler.
Well,
just like that.
That's what people say, but I don't know so much. Here are the spokespeople for the Toffee app. Do you want to hear it? They're talking about their favorite things about the app and what they like about it. So here they are. Just discussing love and, you know, how great it is. Take a listen. This will give you an idea.
And I suppose in love?
Of course.
Whatever in love means.
So let me translate. The guy says, so are you in love? And the girl goes, of course. And then the man goes,
whatever love means.
Whatever love means.
And then they proceeded to bonk each other senseless in the corridors.
Bad news, though. This app is only available currently in the UK. So, I don't know. Maybe there's a gap in the South African market because, let's be honest, this will do wonders in Cape Town where the first thing that comes out of someone's mouth is what school they went to.
It's going to be called Toffee.
Yeah, you can start under. Do your own thing in Cape Town.
Well, the founder of the app has a couple of comments to make. Yeah, you want to hear what he has to say? About, you know, all the things that are going on and how he found love and everything else using the app. Listen to this quickly. Here it is. Just take a listen to this. Here it is. Hang on a second. I'm just trying to get to it. He's quite hard to nail down, but here he is.
Quite a lot of the presidents of the United States.
All right, so there it is.
Just rambling on.
That's
the thing. You don't have to be sexy in Toffee. You just have to be on Toffee. Yeah, you don't have to actually...
Hard. Yeah, here he is.
I've been 20 times or something now in the last 45 years. And just shows how old I'm getting now.
Yeah, well, there he is. That's the founder of the app. Toffee app. Very sexy, and he says that if there are any women who are interested, all they have to do is swipe left. Or is it swipe up? Because you don't swipe
probably
down.
Up.
If you swipe down, you'll be marrying down like my son.
Overseas tour with your...
Listen to this. Here it is. Here he is talking about some more of the love in the app. All right, go ahead, sir. Tell us about it.
Well, I remember we had a very, very jolly time in California. I seem to remember.
It's where you go for your first date.
They were all so friendly there.
How nice. Isn't that nice? We had a jolly time in California. All right, well, Robin's here. And Robin, you'll be very proud of me.
Well, I, Gareth.
Yes, well, I went and I planted some flowers in my pots yesterday.
Oh, I'm so excited. Oh. What did you plant?
I actually have the list. I have verbenas.
Nice.
All right. You want to explain what that is?
Lovely for spring.
Yes, just explain what it is, because I don't even know. They're little red flowers,
it's,
I think.
Yes, it's a flower and it's an annual, is it not? Did you buy it in a seedling tray?
I did. Is that the right way to go?
Of course it is.
Yay. I got pansies. And I got violas.
Oh, cute.
Aren't you impressed?
I'm very impressed.
All right. Robin is here from Lifestyle Home and Garden, and they are the people who you can find on the corner of Esterhout and Bays Nordea. And they're popping by every couple of days, and Robin was here on Friday to tell us about our lawns. And now we're talking about other things to do with pot plants and color in your garden. And pots are a terrific way to plant flowers because they can grow safely within the pot. They don't have to worry about washing away if there's sudden big rains. You don't have to put them in among all the other plants. They get special attention. You could put the right potting soil in.
You can put them high up so the cats don't pee in them.
There we go. See? Leanne has that problem. Yeah. A lot of her things are dead from acid in her garden.
Yeah, my tomatoes are yellow.
All right, so tell us about pots and tell us about pot plants.
So last week we obviously spoke about lawns, but we also spoke about putting color into your garden now for spring. And a few of the things we didn't mention that are in flower now, the big perennials like clivias and strelitzias and bougainvilleas and things that people want to put that will last, you know, year on year and flower again. So when you think about newbie gardeners or people who aren't really into gardening, container gardening is actually also a great way to start. It also applies to people who live in flats or have small apartments. If you don't have a big garden space or you only have a patio or a balcony, container gardening is perfect for that because it's very versatile. Obviously, you can have containers and pots that are, you know, big, small, long and thin, high, whatever you need to fit
sort of like
in the space you have.
Choosing a life partner, you could get a pot for every person, right?
Exactly, yes. Exactly. So, what we really put together is a guide to potting up plants. So whether that is perennials, bigger stuff, trees, roses, standards, or even seedlings like you did, Gareth, you'll change every season. They also work very well in pots.
Now, you can't just throw shit into a pot and expect it to work.
No, you
compost,
cannot.
Compost, Gareth, compost.
No, not.
Nice try, Ben.
You've got to put rocks in at the bottom.
Yes.
Or stones.
So small stones or pebbles. This applies to both indoor and outdoor plants. So if you are potting up indoor plants or outdoor plants, you need to find a pot that has holes at the bottom. That's very important.
Otherwise the water will just sit there and it'll drown the plant.
Exactly. So you need a pot with holes at the bottom, and then you put a layer of small stones or pebbles to help with drainage so that the water doesn't sit and so that also the soil doesn't get very soggy.
Right.
And that's very important for the health of your plants and obviously the root health as well.
Okay.
And then once you've put the pebbles, you can put a little layer of potting soil if you need good quality potting soil. And then you take the plant that you've bought, you just loosen it out of the plastic pot that it comes in, and you place it on top of those pebbles or stones. And then you obviously see the size of the pot that you're choosing. It needs to be slightly bigger than the pot that you actually bought the plants in. Obviously, if you bought seedling trays, like Gareth did, then it doesn't apply as much. But you just choose a pot that's big enough to fit everything inside. And then you fill around the side and on the top with a layer of potting soil as well until it's just in line with the rim of the pot.
Got it, Sia.
I'm making mental notes.
Okay, what are you going to plant on your balcony?
Well, I am kind of...
Because now you've got to choose the plants.
I'm kind of greedy, and I'm trying to work on herbs and things that I can eat.
Yes,
so I don't just want, like, something that looks pretty. But I heard, like, mint is nice and easy to manage. Like, I think is it thyme that's also easy to manage?
Great.
And those are great on...
Please, you're terrible. Example, like, you're terrible balcony. At managing your thyme. And rosemary.
That's in the oil joke earlier.
And what about oregano?
No, I've never heard of that.
Oregano's
that?
Great.
Oh,
that's
oregano's
just a,
great.
You know that smell that you get from a really fresh, lovely pizza? That sort of
it's an used an Italian in pastas herb. And pizza mainly.
Ooh, as long as I can use it for food, then
very
I'm
nice.
Done.
Very nice.
I'm very proud of you, Sia. I'm so glad that you're deciding to plant some herbs.
Look, it's a long way forward. Let me just put it that way.
No, but that's good. And mint and thyme are great because they actually last all year round. So they are easy to maintain and you can keep them going throughout the different seasons. So I'm very glad that you're doing that.
Hmm. What should, looking at Leanne, what should she plant?
Tobacco.
Unfortunately, we don't sell that, but I'm sure it's a great idea.
What should she plant? Any ideas?
What do you like, Leanne? Do you like using herbs in your food? Do you like making gin and tonics with mint?
I've got
what
a really,
about a lemon tree?
I've got a really good lemon tree.
Oh, great. Lemon trees are great, and they work especially well in pots because they prefer to have dry soil. So that isolated environment where you only water them, you know, sort of when the soil is dry, that's where they really thrive. So lemon trees are great in containers, perfect for balconies, patios, even big gardens.
And can you harvest quite a good harvest off a little lemon tree in a pot?
I get a huge amount off of mine.
Really?
Yeah. It's going all year, basically. I mean, sometimes they look like limes because they're a bit green. But what is weird is that they don't look like the shop lemons. They're very chunky and bumpy.
Yes.
Like an old man's nose.
Oh.
So you do
very knobbly.
So you don't know exactly which variety, because we sell about 5 different varieties of lemon trees. Huh. Lemon Genoa, lemon Eureka, there's a smooth skin, a rough skin. So you actually
I
think you do. So you might have a lemon tree that's where the lemons will not look like store bought lemons, but they could still be absolutely delicious. They have different flavors, different acidity, and they often do look different to what you used to. But that's the beauty of nature. Actually.
I like that because I like to, when I have people around, I like to serve them fresh lemon to put in their drinks. So you want to have it growing in your garden. You don't have to go and buy them all the time. Plus, the tree likes to have them picked, and then it grows more.
Exactly. And the other thing about a lot of fruit trees and citrus trees is that they also get blooms. So they also get flowers just before they get fruit. So they're not
lovely.
Only functional, but they're also beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it smells so good.
Yes.
Just like me. Functional, beautiful, and I smell good.
Yes, look at that.
Look at
all right, how about roses? Complicated?
No, not at all. Roses also do extremely well in pots, especially because when you do container gardening, the plants are in an isolated environment. So you can really care for them the way that they like to be cared for. So you can move them into a sun or shade or semi-shade position, whatever's best for them. You can water them just as much as they need. You can test the soil around the pot very easily. You can change the potting soil if need be. And so really container gardening is a great way to get into gardening, to try different things, to have different types of plants with different needs in your garden. And so, yeah, I really recommend it to anyone.
So the reason I decided to go and plant a whole bunch of pot plants over the course of yesterday was because my parents, for my birthday, because, you know, nobody knows what to buy me for my birthday anymore, they gave me geraniums.
Oh, beautiful.
To put in pots.
Yes.
To make my entrance of my house look nicer, because it looked like it was in the dead of winter, not very colourful. So that was I thought that was a cool present.
That was a great gift.
Yeah, I decided to augment it. So what is a geranium? Is it the same as a pelargonium?
No, so they are different. So you
love the names of these.
Pelargonium and geranium, they are different, but they look very similar. Mm-hmm. And you get a trailing variety, so those that will cascade over the pot, which is beautiful for hanging baskets or even pots hangs over the edge. I'm sure it will look lovely in the entrance of your home.
There we go.
And then you also get the bush variety that grows more up, obviously higher and into a bushy shape. They're beautiful for color in spring. Those osteospermums, argyranthemums, daisy bushes, those are the 3 most popular at this time to add color.
Well, there we go. And there's a downloadable step-by-step guide all on the website. That's on Lifestyle Home Gardens website. And you can also find it on cliffcentral.com. But go and look at their blog, because it's probably the best way to do this. And if you're a little bit nervous about what to do with pot plant, don't be, because they really help you out with all the advice that you need. And if you go to Lifestyle, they will show you everything.
Yes.
You can choose your pot, you choose your plant, you can do all of the instructions while you're there, and you'll drive out feeling like you have you've figured it all out.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, Robin, thank you. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
And
for
where are you?
Me.
Where are you off to? Apparently, you're leaving for Europe now. You're doing something there.
We are leaving this week. We're going to Germany. We are going to a garden center convention, and we're going to look for the best quality equipment and everything to do with gardening. So very excited about that. We're also actually going to the Gardena factory. I don't know if you're aware of Gardena.
The equipment, like
tools,
hose pipes, and
exactly. They are such a high quality brand. We've recently actually installed a store-in-store at Lifestyle with their entire range, every fitting, every tool, every hose pipe you could need for every type of garden. So we are super excited about that. We're going to their factory and we're going to see their new range for next year.
Woohoo! All right, you'll tell us about it when you're there.
Yes, so we'll be Skyping in next week, and I'll tell you guys all about it.
Thank you very much. Robin Scher from Lifestyle Home Garden. You can find out more by going to their website or just go to cliffcentral.com, and you can also pick up on all the podcasts we put together before. So by the end of this, you'll be an expert. You'll be able to plant anything, and it'll grow, and it'll be happy, and it'll survive. Not only indoor, outdoor, veggies, flowers, lawns, the lot. We're going to turn you into the happiest person this spring. Can't wait. All right, thanks, Robin. Nice to see you. Coming up in a little while, Deep Fried Man. Oh, yes. I haven't seen him for a long time. Oi, Deep Fried Man. He's wearing his hat and everything.
He really is decked out properly.
Yeah, he is. He dressed up for us this morning. He didn't just pitch up. He didn't look like a schlump. He's in here looking fantastic. So we'll get to him next. Your call's also 0861-555-189 if you want to get hold of us on the WhatsApp, 0797482090. All right, let me quickly tell you about this, because we're talking about men. What does it mean to be a man in today's world? There are a lot of confusing things being said about men. We actually spoke about this in the first hour of this show, this morning's show. In fact, the statistic was 61.7%. of all the babies born last year in South Africa, did not have a father when they were registered. That's a terrifying statistic. It's a conversation about masculinity that everyone needs to hear. It's a raw and authentic series of podcasts with Craig Wilkinson and Khalil Osiris. It starts from the premise that true masculinity is a gift to the world, equally relevant to men and women, provides profound insights into why men behave the way they do. It unpacks the three core desires at the heart of every man. Question every boy needs answered on his journey to manhood, the four big lies about masculinity, what wounds the masculine heart, and the one thing every man wants from women more than sex. Do you want to know the answer to that question? You'll have to listen to Man, brought to you by Carling Black Label. Drink responsibly, not for sale to persons under the age of 18. It's all available on cliffcentral.com. And we will talk to Craig next week or the week after, and speak to him about the series and what they're trying to achieve with it. Because I sat down and I spoke to the guys when we got working on the series. It really is the kind of thing that needs a lot of attention in South Africa for very obvious reasons. You know who else needs a lot of attention in South Africa is Deep Fried Man.
I do. That's so true. That's so true.
You need a lot of attention.
I do. I need a lot of attention. I don't get nearly enough of it.
Hard work.
Not nearly enough.
You've got a one-man show. In Good Taste 2.0, which will run from the 5th to the 16th of September 2018 at the Peter Tureen Theatre in Monte Cassino.
All true. All of that.
Yes, it's true.
Nice.
The original in Good Taste was met with acclaim.
It was. So much acclaim.
Acclaim.
So much.
Yeah, and it premiered at the Lyric Theatre. Now he's out to prove that sometimes the sequel is better than the original, with an intimate one-man show packed with hilarious songs and magnificent musical improv. Blah, blah, blah. Tell us about the show. I'm not going to read this press release.
It's long, hey.
But it's good. It's well written.
Too long?
I mean, yeah, acclaim, I thought so. You know, it talks like you're the Mashiach.
I think
this press release
definitely not like the Mashiach.
Like you're Mashiach. I mean, you know, the month of September is coming up. Very few Jews to get anything done in September.
No, that's true.
It's a lot of holidays.
I'm a bad Jew, obviously, because my show is smack bam
in the middle of
the high holy days. Although, at least the two nights that are Rosh Hashanah, first night and second night, I'm not on.
Okay, good. Because otherwise, you'd only get Yorks.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And they don't.
Absolutely.
They don't always.
They just don't get me.
They don't come in their droves. The problem is, seriously, there's a lot of stuff. I've always believed that probably because of the suffering the Jews have developed a sense of humor that just goes a little bit further.
Yeah,
than some
we do
other
have
cultures.
That reputation. We
well,
do have that reputation.
It may be earned, it may be unfair, who knows.
And especially me, because I've suffered probably the most
a lot.
Out of anyone
a lot.
On the planet. You, know,
you really have.
Growing up in Greenside.
It's terrible.
Tough. the side of the green.
Those high walls.
Those
functional schools.
All those dangerous electric fences.
All those restaurants.
King David Victory Park.
How did you make
it? I got bullied.
How did you survive?
I only scraped through. You're asking me about my show. Basically, it's just me and playing my songs.
We love your songs.
That's all it is.
Every time you've come in here and done the songs, you've just pulled out brand new stuff. How much material?
Well, that's the thing. That's why I do these shows, is to force me to write new songs. Because otherwise, people do. People in comedy, they get very upset with you if you do the same material too long.
But if you are doing a new show every couple of months, I mean, that's a huge amount of work. Because other comedians, they can tell a joke or tell a story.
Oh,
writing
yes.
a song is a lot harder.
I'm glad you say so. Because
it is.
There's a debate going on in the comedy industry. So. Some of them say that it's easier.
And why don't they write a song?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I say.
Trevor Gumby coming out with his own album.
Oh,
do
my
you?
That would be awful.
God,
that would
imagine?
Be awful. Although it has
that
to be said.
That's Celeste Ntuli coming out with an album.
But there are some. You know, Loyiso Madinga has a surprisingly good singing voice.
Oh.
Glenn Beadham and Pam did a song on TV. He can do songs.
Okay.
Actually, I broke his kneecaps. He's not going to do that again.
Excuse me?
We can't have two Jewish male South African comedians doing songs.
Don't you understand?
He had to be stopped. Exactly. I had to take him out.
So
I love Glenn,
does it come easily for you to write the songs? Because I know you're a talented guy. But
sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's hard.
Do you get writer's block?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I only do a show every year or so. You're like, doing a new show every couple of months. I was like, I don't do a new one-man show every couple of months. That would be insane.
But, dude, it must be very frustrating when you have to come up with stuff. Let's say you've got a deadline. You know, your show's in September, and you're sitting there, and it's like halfway through August, and you're like, I've got 5 songs, but I need 12.
That's kind of exactly my life.
Jesus, that must be horrible. What do you do? How do you get
the
creative juices flowing?
Drugs.
You did some drugs?
Cocaine, ayahuasca.
Does that help?
You know, crack.
Yeah. Crack.
That's all very unpopular right now to do those kind of drugs. The popular drugs right now are prescription drugs, aren't they?
Oh.
Concerta,
Oxy and
Wellbutrin. What's that one that I was hearing about? It's like the new
Play
Valium.
Play us a song that you came up with while you were on Cat.
Do you want... Fuck! No. Do you want long songs or short songs?
Well, if it's one that you did on Wellbutrin, let's try that one first. Now, what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, this has never been done before in the history of people interviewing comics. We're going to ask Deep Fried Man to sing songs by category of drug that helped inspire
Do you literally want songs about drugs?
No, let's just start antidepressants. Let's go into that category first. All right, antidepressants.
I don't want to be seen to condoning drugs.
No,
so
you don't. Stop worrying about social responsibility. No one cares.
Don't do heroin.
Yes.
Especially in the week. Don't sniff coke off your grandmother's antiques. Don't do tick and stay awake for days. Don't do crocodile and eat a homeless man's face.
Oh. What a wonderful song.
It's for the kids, actually.
It's a great PSA.
You
just made that up now, right?
I did.
You see, that is talent. I love that because
That's the new show. It's very much going to be very improvisational.
Really?
It's going to be a lot of audience interaction and a lot of...
But, you know as well as I do, sometimes you hit a jackpot with that kind of a show. And people are like, holy shit, this guy's talented. And then some days, there's just some little glitch in the matrix. And the words don't come as quickly.
That's very true.
I think
that's why this, I think the thing that all improvisational guys do is they have a safety net. So you have to have a safety net. It's like, imagine like the guy, you know those guys who do this tightrope walks?
Yeah.
Then there was that one guy There was the French guy. Have you seen that documentary? And he
fell
went between
to
the
death.
Yeah, and he fell to his death. So that's why, kids. That's why we need a safety net. And that's why, so yeah. So I've got my song. So I guess there was a comedian, and I don't want to name who because he's fallen out of favor with the world.
Oh, shit.
But he
fell to his death.
He fell to his death. He did some bad things, but he was a very good comedian before that. Uh-huh. And he said that he goes on stage every night and he goes out of his way not to use his material. So, but your material's there. So that's the point, is my songs are there. So if I sit down and people want to hear me sing songs about Wellbutrin or whatever it is, then I'll do that. But if it's not going great, then I'll just sing my songs. So you've always got that safety.
What
safety
subject there. Matter is the best? Because we've got so much material in South Africa.
I'm not too sure, because I mean, I've done all this political stuff, yes. But I think this show, it's way more sort of social satire. So there's like, you know, stuff about millennials, stuff about the environment, stuff about, you know, serious things like
are you
gluten.
Are you making fun of millennials?
Of making fun of millennials? Oh. Yeah, I mean, that's all we've got, really, is they're in control of the world. So all we've got is... I'm like, you know, you probably are too, bitter and old and upset with millennials.
Oh, you're not existing. You don't think you're a millennial?
I'm apparently a zennial, which means that I'm more generation... I'm like probably 1 or 2 years out of being a millennial.
Mm-hmm. So they tell me I am as well. I don't like it at all.
We're like that. You don't like
it? Zennial
sounds
like...
Does it trigger you?
Well, it sounds like one of those plants zennials. That Robin was talking about earlier.
I tear up my screen like it's a piece of paper when I see that, where I
when
might be a
millennial.
Word
Zennial.
I might,
oh, might
be one of them.
Oh. Take this handy quiz to see, yeah, are you a millennial? If you just trashed your computer and threw it out the window, chances are you're not.
Yeah.
So millennials are ridiculous. And do you have fun? Because you know there might be in your audience, and a lot of them are very prickly. They get outraged on social media the whole time. So
yeah.
If you rip them off with a song, they could get cross and stand up and start like... heckling you.
It's hard to walk the line.
I have my right to be a millennial. You must not make fun of me.
It's hard to, you know, it's hard to walk that line because, I mean, for most people know from my politics that I'm, you know, I'm a bit of a lefty. But at the same time, I'm so annoyed at, like, how, you know, like, sort of, kind of, people getting upset about lots of things online and it going too far.
The left have unfortunately pushed everyone away from them because they've just lost their sense of humor. In so many ways. If you look at social...
I feel like I'm part of a movement. We're bringing it back.
You have to work really hard because... No, I mean, like, if you are on the left now, it's a humor ghost town. People are like, oh, no, we've got to get...
But that said, I mean...
Why are there not enough women on stage with Deep Fried Man? It's like, it's called the Deep Fried fucking Man Show. Man is in it.
But there's also a lot of women up on stage.
Are there?
I've got a chorus. I've got shoe-up girls.
So you've thought about that because of the millennials?
Yeah.
I've covered all the bases.
I don't want to be accused of...
Sing something about millennials. I like that. Let's hear what you got on them. Material on millennials.
I think the millennial song is like the kind of core of the show. So I want to leave some stuff.
Okay,
for the show.
Well,
is
then
there any other topic that you'd like to hear about?
Yes, of course. Well, you said,
hey, did you guys watch the state capture inquiry yesterday?
You know, I put it on my... I was going to record it, and then I decided I wouldn't ever watch it.
So the funny part about the state capture inquiry yesterday...
State capture inquiry. Did you watch Fakey Mentor?
The funny part about it was Fakey Mentor, because she really, really, like, everyone's, like, rooting for her. We love you, Fakey. Please just show us what's going on with state capture. And boy, was she a bad witness. She did not know what was going on at all.
But she did admit that the Guptas offered a cricket bat to her son.
So I wrote this, and it's not going in my show. This is just something I wrote yesterday. All of this state capture stuff happened a long time ago. Is it Fana Hlongwani or Brian Hlongwa? Even me, I don't know. I just can't tell which Gupta is which. They all look the same to me. The only way I can tell them apart is their level of obesity. I only tell Justice Zondo the truth, or is it Justice Zondi? I'm flaky, faky, the wonderful witness. Don't question my credibility. Oh no, don't question my credibility.
That's beautiful. What a nice song. You made that up just for us yesterday.
I did, and I think that's the thing about the show, is that I'm going to have a lot of stuff in there every day. So there's going to be improv, but there's also going to be, like, I'm going to take every day, like, about an hour before the show to see what's in the news, what can I put in that's relevant to just that day.
So we're going
to
keep it really up to date. How about Fees Must Fall? You've come up with
a lot. It's a tough one. I did have a song called, like, you know, Boys to Men's End of the Road. It was the End of Roads, but
that wouldn't have gone.
But
down
it kind well. Of, but it kind of, yeah, and it also went out of the news cycle.
Yeah,
I also have a song. I mean, my thing is that I don't shy away from, like, issues which might be, like,
polarizing.
On the line or polarizing. I've even got a song about land expropriation without compensation.
That's gonna go well.
Yeah.
Are you going to choose, are you going to look at the audience first and go, this is a good audience to do that one
in? No, because that's the other thing, is that I refuse to, like, be like, see, I think what a lot of comedians do is they pander to a certain audience.
Yes.
They're like, okay, these guys are this way, so therefore I can't do this material.
Then you're no better than a politician.
I feel like I need to be able to do the material I want to do in front of any audience. And either, you know, because in other words, if the song might be on the line for you, then that's when I think that song needs to be heard by you. You know what I mean? Because I try and do it in a way that's kind of, you know, like, I think I can say the following song is about the white genocide or something like that. Yeah. Then people might be like, but when they hear the song, they'll hopefully understand that it's quite a gentle satirical take on the white genocide.
But I think what you point out here is very important. You've got to be a little provocative. Mm. And people have got to stop being so sensitive. If you go to a comedy show, you may end up being the subject of the comedy indirectly in some way, shape, or form. It's not that you're going out of your way to be mean. You're talking about social issues.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the other thing, is that it depends what the... I think it's very important where it's coming from, if you know what I'm saying.
It's not mean.
I hope that I'm coming from it from a well-meaning place.
It's not, you don't sit at home and go, let's be mean.
No. But also it's like things like, you know... In satire, you don't always say what you mean, so you also have to rely on the audience to say, maybe this, at this point he's speaking through a character. So, like with my land song, I'm very much sort of speaking through a character, and that character is general white people in South Africa.
Okay, that sounds like a good one.
I think it's a good one.
You've done four of these shows already. Four solo shows.
This is my fifth. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of material, man.
Yeah.
Are you coming up with new songs every day? Because you said you will, for example, with what.
Oh, yeah. So something like that fakey mental stuff, I like that because it's sort of throwaway. I mean, it's stuff that's not going to work next week. But I like that about it. I like the fact that you can come to the show and see something that's relevant to now. And tomorrow that might not
be short.
Anymore.
You don't have to write a 3-minute radio.
Yeah,
song.
Exactly. And I think, yeah, that's the thing as well. Is I think that's what I'm saying by the fact that I've got my material, I've got the songs, and then I'm going to really try my best to work in as much audience interaction and as much, like, today's songs as well to go with it, like short little bits and stuff like that.
You see, there's also something nice about music, is that it sort of is a balm. It doesn't, even if you're being funny about something that people might take very seriously, the music gives you a bit of a, it softens the edge a little.
I very much agree with that, and I use that as well.
Yeah, sure.
It's like, I mean, that also is kind of my MO, is to take the most, like serious issue and make it funny with the most silly song, if you know what I mean. Like, often, like, even like this strumming style, like, you know, like anything you sing while you're strumming in that style is going to be ridiculous. No one is going to take it seriously.
If someone gets upset with that sound, they've really got major problems. Or piles.
Oh, one of the two.
Yeah, no, I really...
Piles is a major problem, though.
I just want to say that I don't want to make light of piles, and I want to make sure that people with piles feel welcome at my show.
Yes.
If they need an extra cushion...
Well, you'll know who they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
With their little tire cushion. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. No, that's the hard thing about piles, is that you want to take the cushion so that you can be comfortable, but you don't want people to know that you've got piles. So
I would just wear it in my pants.
Oh, wow. That's a patent waiting to happen. So you get these pants with pile pants, with like padded pile pants.
Poopy pile pants.
Pile pants. We've already got the name. That's catchy. There's pink alliteration.
Pile pants.
It's pile pants.
It's Cliff Central the musical.
I like that.
We have a patented idea. We have a jingle for it.
Hey Denise, hey Denise, you look so comfortable.
Yeah, Sharon, I got my new pair of patent pile pants this week, and now I can wear them when I go to Tasha's.
it's very much like you're like, it's like those ads that you get for feminine hygiene products are always like, I can move around confidently.
Yes, right.
With comfort.
Now, on Very Mark, get your patent like pile pants. But wait, there's more. If you buy the patent pile pants now, you'll get a... What else?
One's for incontinence, the patent poo-poo pants.
I had this idea of underwear, which have a pipe going out of the underwear, and then the pipe, you can put it out the window for like people who have problems with flatulence at night, and then you live in a bed. You've got someone in the bed with
idea.
You. I'm not saying I've got personal experience, but I've heard that some men's wives and you know,
struggle.
I'm sure it works both ways. Struggle. So how's that? So it's a pair of underwear, small little pipe going all the way out the window. Problem solved.
Can you keep away any intruders who might be lurking near your window?
Exactly. It has dual
doubles up.
Doubles up.
Intruder comes wandering down the garden path. He's about to break your window.
I'd have like a huge one, because I'd need one for me and for the cats and the dog. It should all funnel into one, and
so hopefully you can get some kind
of
bulk.
The neighborhood safe.
Yeah, bulk this deal. Yeah.
This is actually a very good idea. Who knew that this show would be about innovation this morning?
Wow!
But
I'm a bit of an inventor,
dude. I do like the patent pile pants, and I like this idea of the fart reduction pants.
I think.
Good work.
What's
man.
This, like, wow. Dragon's Den or something like that?
Well,
yeah.
You know how many marriages?
Shark Tank.
Seriously, you know how many marriages you might save?
Absolutely. Maybe even my own.
Well, see, you're not saying, but maybe. Just maybe.
Yeah.
All right, what else have you got in terms of material that you will share with us this morning? I don't want you to give away too much.
So
people must come to the show.
So, yeah, so, okay. Oh, I know that your listeners love hip-hop music. So
sure.
So I was trying to write a hip-hop song that shows people how hardcore I am, because people don't believe that I'm hardcore. So I was trying to think, what are the most hardcore things that I do? And this is what I put into the song. So it goes, I may seem dull and boring, but I put it to you that I've done some things I was not supposed to do. If you've heard all the rumors about me, it's true. I do the worst thing any white person can do. I eat gluten. Oh, you hear that? I eat gluten. Even though it makes me fat, I might not look like a thug. I don't have a gun and I don't do drugs. No drive-bys, no burning, no looting. But I don't give a bleep, cause I eat gluten. I've just realized this is unradio. I could have actually said the F-bomb.
Yeah,
that was a missed opportunity. Oh, yeah. I'm eating baked goods like I don't care. That's how I roll, see what I did there. Eating everything you can bake, bitches. I'm eating the scones, I'm eating the cake, bitches. The bread and the rice, yo, the sump and the pop. Motherfuckers, every day I'll be eating it up. I'm eating the pizza and the chicken stuffing. I don't give a fuck, eating muffins like it's nothing. You best believe that I'm eating the pasta. It's not even pasta, and I'm eating the matzah. Try and stop me, it's no use. Give me even everything, even the couscous. Fuck the Dukan, Paleo, and Tim Noakes. Forget your fat jokes, I'll be telling thin jokes. Invading the bakery like I'm that G. Putin. Fuck gluten-free, I want free gluten.
Yes. Well,
I eat gluten. You hear me, I eat gluten. I'm the OG. I may not look like a thug. I don't have a gun and I don't do drugs. No drive-bys, no burning, no looting. But I don't give a fuck, cause I eat gluten.
Yeah. Take no prisoners.
Take that to notes.
Yes, exactly.
You were some hardcore man.
Well, for a white
hardcore
for a white guy to say that is a very, very
that is,
provocative.
That is brave. That's what I
dare
what
you.
I don't shy away from controversial.
Frightening. All right, dude. Well, listen, I'm very excited about your show. It is from Wednesday until Saturday 8 o'clock in the evening. Saturday matinees at 4 o'clock. Sunday matinee 3 o'clock. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Bring kids. Better. Bring your grandmother.
Yes, you could bring everybody. Even bring the people you don't like, so you can expose. Them. No, you know, if you want to improve them, bring them to Deep Fried Man's show.
In fact, do you know what you can do? You can, like, as you are entering the venue, like, in Monte Cassino, if you just see people, there's always, like, random people standing along the wall at Monte Cassino. Just bring them with you. Offer them a ticket. You could change their life.
You must buy their ticket.
I'm not saying you'll change their life for the better, but you'll definitely change their life.
Yeah, do what you can. So it is all part of the 5th solo show. It's called In Good Taste 2.0.
Yeah.
It'll run from the 5th until the 16th of September 2018. Peter Turin Theatre in Monte Cassino. Deep Fried Man, it's always good to see you. Thank you,
good
dude.
Good to see you as well, Gareth. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. What are you up to today? What's the plan of action?
I think...
you're going to get in your car? And
I'm
going
to get in my car.
Yeah.
Going to drive to...
Yeah.
The bakery and eat gluten.
Yeah. I'm going to drive to the Citizen. I'm going to sit at the desk and be the digital news editor.
Are you ready? Is that your plan this morning?
That's my plan every weekday.
Really? Sure. You're the digital news editor for them?
At the moment, yeah.
Oh. Lucky them. But they pay you extra because you're funny.
They deduct money from my salary. Every joke I make, I get less money.
Do you have to bring your own laptop, or do they give you one?
I've got a machine waiting for me there. They're very generous that way.
At least.
Yeah, after they worked out that I was to use my own Mac, it would take me at least 3 hours to upload a single story.
What's interesting here is that, obviously, the news business has changed. I don't want to go down a long path with you on this one. But it is interesting how, like, digital content that you could share with social media is just way more powerful than the print ever could be now. Right?
Yeah, well, we have a print team, and we call them the printies.
Shame. Do you make fun of them, like
behind their back?
Cavemen used to throw rocks at dinosaurs.
Yeah, no, we're quite patient with them when we're in the same room with them, because we don't want to hurt their feelings. Because they're printies and they come from a different time. But yeah, behind their back, we say very awful things about them. Shame they have to wait every day to put all of their articles in the newspaper.
It must be so frustrating.
It is.
Time to go to Prince T.H. We've got a story from 9 o'clock this morning, and it's not going to be relevant anymore by tomorrow.
Hope they're listening to this.
Keeps you on top of the news, though.
Yeah, no, I do know what's going on. Unfortunately, I know way too much about what's going on. Not all of it's fun.
All right. Well, I like the fakey mentor. I think you should throw that in immediately.
Cool.
Some good stuff there.
Cool. Hopefully it will still be relevant this time next week.
Well, hopefully she'll still be alive after this test.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Very good.
You went there. You went there.
Deep Fried Man.
Valid point. Yeah, valid point.
You never know in South Africa, right?
Yeah.
In Good Taste 2.0 at the Peter Turin Theatre in Monte Cassino. Thank you, dude.
Cool. No, thank you.
Good to see you. There we go. Cool. All right, time for the unnews. Let's see what's going on in the world. Wrap it up with a little bit of that, and then we will come back with a guest who I think you're going to love to hear from. His name is Dr. Daniel Myersfield. He's a molecular biologist. Now, I'm interested in what he's been doing when it comes to DNA. He established DNA de-analysis biotechnology in 2007 to bring the benefits of these advances to South African health and wellness markets. And he's developed a range of non-invasive DNA tests that identify specific genes linked to optimum health, weight loss, and weight management, among other things. So when it comes to this stuff, I'm always fascinated by what they're developing in biotechnology to help us last longer, live more fruitful lives, be able to manage those aspects of our health which we thought were beyond our control before. So I'm very excited to talk to him. He's coming up next. You want the unnews?
Yes, please.
All right, just because you asked.
Oh, so nicely.
Theresa May
just arrived in South Africa. She's looking to do pro-Brexit deals. As Great Britain knows, there are some easy wins here right now with a corrupt and inept government. May and her team are just hoping that there is anything of value left after the Chinese shopping trip last week. Apple are about to release their next flagship phone. Are you excited? The big question is, what will it be called? Will it be the iPhone 11 or the iPhone X2? So much has gone into deciding on the name that Apple are actually just repackaging last year's phone. But iPhone fans won't notice that anyway. They'll go out and buy it. Dummies. And Jose Mourinho suffered a dreadful loss last night to Spurs, but he still says he deserves respect. He didn't get it in the press conference, though, nor in the cab on the way home. And when he got home, even his dog peed on his leg. To fluff his ego, he's going to have to take it all out on Paul Pogba today at training. So look out for another dramatic bust-up in the press. That's the un-news. Coming up, Dr. Daniel Myersfield. And you can stick around for that. You can give us a call, 0861-555-189. Tell us what's on your mind. That's coming up next.
CliffCentral.com.